or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. WGBB, 1240 AM, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
Sweet Jesus.
And there's Al. Sing, Al.
Flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him every day.
Notice how polite I'm being. I'm being very polite. I'm not talking over Al.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But it's not only Al. It's Paul is here, the man who wrote the song. And and he's bigger than I am. And I have to be quiet. I can't talk. Paul, I don't want to talk over those words. So I won't do it, okay?
Smart decision, Palmer.
Okay.
Thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that he loves us, and let's thank him every day.
Do you do that, Tony? Do you thank him every day?
I thank him every morning. Two people I thank in my life.
In this world,
Jesus and my wife, Joan. Jesus has me. I don't think Joan has me.
Join the club, Tony.
And Tito, how about you? Do you thank God every day?
More than once.
More than once. Good. John, how about you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we are a thankful crew, huh?
What about Paul? What's here, Paul?
Oh, yes. As Tito said, much more than once a day. Start the day out, end the day up.
How about you, Trevor? You thank God every day? Yeah, I thank Red Skelton once was asked, how come he's so happy when he's so old? And he said, well, I wake up every morning and I look around and I don't see candles and flowers. I know it's a good day. And then I open Playboy to get my heart started. Sorry, Jesus. We start our day with prayer, don't we?
I think you just got a laugh out of you, John.
Well, you know, as long as you guys are here, Tony, why don't we just have, these are your friends. Why don't you have your friends introduce themselves?
So why don't I let you guys introduce yourselves? Tito, why don't you go?
Well, I'm Tito Batista from Cold Spring Harbor. I'm part of the Black Rose Productions team. And I'm grateful.
What's the name of the production team?
Black Rose Productions Incorporated.
Okay.
And we are actually the production company that works, you know, side by side, practically partners with Mr. Pandolfo here for many years. We go back since we were kids, playing in a band. And we've been blessed to have the opportunity to work with Mr. Valerio, who is just a phenomenal, gifted songwriter. You know, God has definitely given him a gift, you know, the gift of being able to write great music, great lyrics, and we're blessed for that.
You said it just like I wrote it, Tito. That's terrific.
And of course, Tony. I mean, what can I say? I mean, you know, he's such a wonderful man as well. And
Tony.
Yeah.
No, I didn't write that.
No,
that's not what I wrote.
No, but you're his family, you know.
Thank
and,
you.
You know, it's obvious.
This is God's men's club. You realize that? There are four of us here.
That's right.
Actually, five, if you want to count me. But I figure you guys are in a club.
You're with our club.
Okay.
You're part
Paul,
of the club,
how about you? Why don't you tell us who you are, Paul?
Yeah, sure. I'm, most distinguished, I guess, as Tony's partner for 48 years in business.
Oh, God.
Both,
how many
like
years?
To say, 48 years partners.
And you well, still have all your marbles?
Some people are not married for that.
I lost a few along the way, but Tony and I were both kids from Brooklyn. We grew up together. We're 2 weeks apart in age, and we've been fighting since we're 2 weeks old, I guess, right, Tony?
Just about.
Or debating, fighting. I should
we're
say.
We're in the baby carriages together.
They're still fighting.
And we know, and, Paul, we're going to get back to you in a minute, Paul, sure. Because of the songs that you've written, and you guys help, and not only help, but produced and recorded them. John, let's hear about you.
My name is John Pandolfo. I'm a musician, a recording engineer, and a producer. I have my own studio in Massapequa, and I really enjoy recording all kinds of music. And when we met Paul, it was a great thing because like Tito said, he's a great songwriter, and I've really enjoyed working with him on all different projects. It's been a real pleasure.
And our show is one that's dedicated to people who may have walked away from God in some way. And we're after people like you who are with God in some way. To tap them on the shoulder and bring them back. Isn't that what
actually, John and I are just two little kids in love with Jesus, and we want to bring everyone to Jesus as much as we can. But you know, we're so humble, and we say it every week, we're looking for one convert a week, just one convert. And the disciples got 3,000 every time they spoke. And we're not that good, so we're thankful
we'll
for one
a
convert
week.
A week.
We'll take one a week.
Except we have the internet today.
Yeah, that's we have right. The internet.
Paul, let's hear a little bit about you and the music and the first song that we're going to play in a few minutes, not yet. There Was a Time in America. Why don't you tell us about you and the story related to that?
Okay, there's a story behind that song. Let me give you a little background first. I've always been into music since I was a kid. I think I started with the harmonica, then the accordion, then the clarinet, saxophone. I ended up with the guitar. And, you know, I had my own band when I was 21, and then I got married, and I had to go out and make money, so I had to give up the band. There wasn't much money in it those days, and but I always kept it as a hobby.
There still isn't much money.
There still isn't much money in it, right?
Money,
so I made the right move, I guess. I don't know. But for years and years, John and Tony, I pretty much just played the guitar, played songs. I didn't get into songwriting. It wasn't until a very horrific thing happened in this country that really got me started in it. And I'm talking about the Columbine School Massacre on April 20th of 1999, which I'm sure most people remember, except maybe some very young people. And, you know, for years and years, I had noticed as someone of the age that I could see America from both sides, I had noticed the decrease in positive values in this country and the increase in negative values. And I wasn't quite sure what the reason was for that, but when this incident happened, this Columbine High School massacre, that's all that was on the radio and TV for 2 months straight, and everybody was talking about what they thought were the reasons for it. You know, they had to outlaw guns, they had to put more security up, and so on and so forth. The parents were to blame. I thought they were hitting everything but the right reason, the decrease in values. The decrease in the influence of God on our society. And one day I was driving home from work after spending a day with Tony, another beautiful day with Tony. And
John spent some of those days also.
I've lost all my hair. And I have to take a lot of Xanax. But go ahead.
And I had the radio on, and again, they were talking about the guns and everything and what caused this. And I got so frustrated, I turned the radio off, and I always carried a tape recorder next to me just to record memos and things and schedules. And I don't know what happened, but I turned the tape recorder on and words started coming out of my mouth. And, John, I have to tell you this. I know you talk to Jesus every day. I've heard it in many
we
of your shows.
Do.
I guess we all do. We're not always aware of it. But I was very aware that these words weren't coming from me. I mean, there were thoughts I had, but they were coming out so fast. My mind couldn't think them fast enough, and I was amazed. I didn't know where they were coming from. By the time I got home, I had about an hour and a half of stuff on tape that pretty much went together. It rhymed, and it sounded good, and I got home, and as was my habit, I used to practice the guitar when I got home from work to play different songs. And I'm saying, what am I supposed to do with these words? It's you know, it was had me kind of awestruck where they came from. I think I know where they came from. I think they were inspired.
I heard the song. I know where they came from.
Yeah,
I know that's where the way God works, Paul.
Yeah. And I said, how can you take something like this? The thought occurred to me to make it into a song, but how can you take something so horrible and put music to it? And I started playing, and all of a sudden, a progression of chords came to me, and before you know it, the whole thing came together. Again, it wasn't me. I didn't have that kind of talent to do it that easily and that quickly. And not being a singer and not having recording equipment, I went to some guy on the South Shore, $50, not John, some old guy with an old vaudeville piano. We recorded it on an old cassette tape. I sent it out to Music Pub. I bought a book in Barnes & Noble, music publishers, and I sent it out to about 10 publishers, including Tito, who has the Black Rose, as he mentioned, production publishing company, who had offices in New Jersey, and he's the only one who responded, and he asked me to come out and visit him, and I did a long ride out there, and but he played the tape, which was me singing and the old vaudeville piano play, and to me it sounded terrible, but it hit a chord with Tito, and he guided me on. He guided me to John, who's sitting here, and we made the first recording of it. John took a lot of the words and cut it down because it was too long. I think it was about 7-8 minutes when I brought it to you, John, right?
Yeah.
And knocked it down to about 6 minutes, and then we re-recorded it twice more with different singers. It's been an evolution, and the final product is the one that you're going to play here shortly. But to me, the song is a both a warning and a prophecy of a sort.
But it's more than that. I heard the song. The song is beautiful, but the story about the song, how God works, and brought you to Tito. What made you get interested in the song?
Well, I was always a very spiritual person. I mean, I went to Catholic school, you know, Catholic family, and I always believed in God, you know, because I've always thanked the good Lord for all the gifts that I've had in my life, you know, good family, great children, you know, health. And so when Paul came to me, you know, I saw a really genuine person in him and somebody that really believed in what he was doing. And, you know, I knew that we could take this to the next level. And that's pretty much what we did. And again, you know, John and I go back, Pandolfo, we go by back many years. And I knew that he would be the right producer because, you know, he's also a Christian and we share the same beliefs. And I was totally right. You know, he found it quite intriguing and enjoyed, you know, working on the project.
And John, you got involved. Let's hear what you did now. They came over to you with the song, and as Paul said, it was 7 hours long. What did you do?
No, 7 minutes.
I know. No, I, you know, I said 7 hours on purpose.
Seven hours of tape.
It would take 7 hours to do the 7 minutes.
Well,
probably. Yes.
Part of my job is to, which I really enjoy, is to take music and work with it and try to produce it and make it into something that that's better than what it started out to be, and you know, I really enjoy that. And yeah, we had to cut out some words because Paul loves to write a lot of words, he certainly does. But we, you know, we took what we thought were the best parts of it and created something with that. And you know, it's a big process to hire the musicians, to get the right players in there, to do the, you know, to play the right things, and to record it the right way. So it's a real pleasure working like that. I really enjoy the work.
Well, let's hear the song.
There was a time in America when kids were simply kids, didn't need sex education or carry guns in violation of all the rules. When kids were allowed to pray and never were they led astray, religious freedom was the rule, and God was still allowed in school. There was a time in America, oh yeah, when kids kids were simply kids. There was a time in America when kids were safe in school.
Considered odd, pledge allegiance in the classroom to one nation under God. But now, because of few protests, our children cannot pray. And so, as if to fill the void, evil comes our way.
Now if we don't learn to do it right, day may turn to night. The promise of America may fade away and may not return. When kids were simply kids, oh, yes they were. There was a time in America when kids were simply kids. Whoa, simply kids.
Wow, Paul. Tony?
I think that was terrific. You know, and as that song was playing, the thought came to my mind, it's time in America now to bring family values back to the kids and to bring Jesus into the lives of all the children. It's time. Let's go, everybody. Bring Jesus back. Bring it back to the families.
I'm with you on that, Tony.
You know, and it's amazing. That was really 12 years ago. And look at the difference in our society from 1999.
Worse.
To 2011. Where have we gone wrong?
Family values, John. Family values. Christian family values.
We've allowed the devil to come in.
We've allowed negativity to take over. Evil to take over. Really is terrible when you think about it. My kids, you know, in school, my kids are grown now, but in school they have the third grade prom. And the fourth grade prom. And when they started sex education, I worked at Fordham in the graduate school. I was teaching there. And a friend of mine was a philosophy professor. And he asked the question to Mary Calderon, who was the one behind all the sex education. If you think about it, sex education physically takes about 5 minutes. Everything else is attitudes.
And you've been working on those attitudes since kindergarten, all the way up through college. When my kids were in college, they had to take a health program which talked about values that was so contrary to mine. We protested. We pulled them out. And they were, the college people, not happy. Yeah. But, you know, but yeah, there's a terrible, terrible thing there.
Absolutely.
It's an old, old, old joke. Maybe we can have a little joke now, right?
About I didn't know you told jokes, Palmer.
6-year-old Sammy takes 5-year-old Mary home from the movies. And this is under the new sex education. And he says to her, "I want what I want when I want it." And she looks at him with innocent eyes and says, "You'll get what I got when I get it." Why are we making kids adults?
John, I wish I had you as a teacher at Fordham. I went to Fordham also.
Oh, okay.
When were you a professor then?
I don't know.
70s. Before you were born, Paul.
Before I was born, I don't know about that.
1922.
I was born a while ago, Tony, as you know.
John,
but, you talk about values, and it's very true. I remember when I was a kid, and God, prayer, and the Ten Commandments were still allowed in school. The worst kind of violence parents had to worry about was their sons getting a black eye or a bloody nose from the class bully. Violence of any kind against girls was unthinkable.
I know.
But today, what do we worry about? We worry about the kids getting shot and killed in school, teachers having sex with their students, kids being taught things that are completely contrary to the Catholic faith and what they're being taught at home. And it's been deteriorating worse and worse since 1962, since the Supreme Court outlawed prayer in schools. I have a list of things which is too long to read on your show, the things that have gone wrong in that period of time since 1962. And just to name a few of them, I mean, I'm talking about in general in society. We had the John F. Kennedy assassination, Robert Kennedy assassination, Martin Luther King assassination, the near assassinations of President Reagan and Ford, the Vietnam War, which was a horrible thing, changed our country completely, those Manson murders, the Columbine High School massacre, the quality of education in America has plummeted in spite of all the money we put into it. We have mothers killing their children, we have terrorism, the 9/11 attack, and what do we have today? We have an economy in decline, the federal government, states going bankrupt, people losing their homes, people out of work. Longest recession in history, as far as I know. Groups divided against each other, partisan politics. I mean, it's completely opposite of what it was when we grew up.
So how do we turn it around? Like Tony said, family values. What do we do? You are three men who are our guests. Tony and I are here. How do we turn this around? How do we say, hey, enough already? We want God back in our lives, especially in our lives of our children.
One person at a time.
Yeah, what are you doing? What can you do about it?
Well, I tell you, the lesson I took from what happened, the experience I had with the first song I wrote in Columbine and the words that were fed to me, was that God gave me a mission, I feel, to help get his name and prayer back into the public square. There's so many great songwriters like Palmer Pascal, who you love, John, and Al Barbarino, who sings religious songs, that sing strictly religious songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fantastic, you know.
Who we all love.
Unfortunately, the people that listen to them are people that are mostly believers already. They need that.
Well, that's all right. That's support
public,
for them.
Yeah, the general public is not hearing much about God and prayer, so my mission is to try to fill that little niche in there where a song can be, how can I put it, right on the edge where it'll be accepted by the general public, not so religious that it won't be, but it'll begin to get God back into the public square. In my own little way, of course, you know.
Palmer.
And
watch it. Here it comes.
What do you think of this?
Oh.
Let's give out free discs. If anyone writes us, we'll mail them a free disc. What do you say, Palmer?
It's all right, as long as you pay for them.
I'll pay for it. Oh, wait. No, we'll pay for it.
The shipping?
Anybody wanting a free disc of the song, email us. Listen up. 1240@AOL.com. And the next day, a disc will be in the mail to you, free of charge. Compliments of Palmer.
Because where there's music, there's love.
Well, and that's I'll offer the next one for you. The next song you're going to play, which is the Thanksgiving in America.
Yeah.
That, by the way, illustrates very well what I'm talking about. Thanksgiving to me is a holiday that's becoming lost.
And we're going to play that.
Okay.
Well, he's got Trevor's putting it on, Tony. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to mention, Tito said about bringing the song to the next level. They did. I don't think they mentioned there's a video on the song, a video playing a movie
right.
about the song, which is fantastic.
It's okay. On YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Let's give that out too, Palmer. What do you say?
Well, let them go to YouTube and get it.
You're so cheap.
Hey, listen, I got to take the bottles back to the store to pay for the show here.
I think we need John in our business, Tony. I'm going to save some money.
Let's listen to Thanksgiving, and guess who's singing it? Al Bubbering. You may recognize the background and the lyrics, the music.
On this special day of Thanksgiving, on this day of peace and love, we give thanks for all our blessings to the Lord, our God above. Families gather round their tables, cross this land that God has blessed. As we search for words to thank Him, where do we begin? Thanksgiving in America is that very special day. Thanks for all our blessings and God's help along the way. For the sun that shines upon us and the rain that brings forth life, for the country that we in, and the freedom that's our right. Thanksgiving in America is that very special day when we give thanks for all our blessings and God's help along.
By the way, that was the maiden voyage of this song. It's the first time this song has been played, I think, in public. It's the first time it's been played on the airs. It's the maiden voyage of the song. John, What do you say we give a free disc of this song also?
Hey, you're giving away this guy's
I'm going to give away
here.
The
you better watch it here.
I want to spread this word of family values.
That one's on me, Tony. If anybody wants
to Paul
Barrett. There we go.
Okay. All right. Anyone's interested in a copy of this, just send us an email.
Songs. We'll put the two songs on one disc and get them out to you.
Absolutely. Listen up, 1240 at AOL.com. And send us your petitions while you're doing that also.
And you know, while that song was playing, I don't know how you guys felt, but it brought back so many memories of Thanksgiving past and the holidays in the past.
Yeah.
And I look around now and we get happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yeah.
Happy holidays. Well, wait a minute now. Christmas is the birthday of Jesus. That's what we're celebrating. And I understand that there are people who do not believe in Jesus, but we do. So one thing you can do is a simple thing. And I know Christmas is a long way away. When you go to the store and the clerk says, "Happy Holiday," you say back, "Thank you, and I wish you a Merry Christmas."
That's right.
And it's little ways like
that.
Yep. And you be polite and you be gentle because that's the way of Jesus. But you bring him to the forefront in everything that you do, you know?
And that's our motto, John, that Jesus should be involved in every part of our lives, our home life, our business life, our family life.
Yeah.
And bring Jesus into the family values. This is what needs to be done.
And we know that we're talking to the choir because a lot of people who listen to the show are people who are Catholic and are listening and like this kind of thing. So we just simply say to you people, get up off your fannies and get out the doors and start telling people that Jesus is alive and in your heart, and you want them to become aware that he dwells in them.
And our mission statement is that Jesus wants to be involved with us every moment of our lives.
Look how Paul wrote that first song, Driving a Car Home.
That's dangerous. I don't know how you did that.
But then all the words coming and he's recording the stuff, you know?
Jesus was the co-pilot.
I was under special protection.
Well, no, but that's how God works. And then he comes over to you, Tito. And who knows, you have 100 things going on. But you took the time and you listened. And there was the quality of Jesus in that song that got you, isn't it?
Well, I think it was probably Jesus himself because, you know, like I said, Paul is so spiritual. And I tell you something else, John, it's amazing. But most, they say that 99% of the people on their dying bed, whether they be atheist or anything, the last word out of their mouth is, "Oh God, oh Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what they did through their whole life, for some reason, God gives them that grace in that moment to redeem themselves. And it's amazing that they do it.
And they're redeemed.
That's right.
I had a woman.
They also say there's no atheist in a foxhole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But I had a woman that we prayed with for a long time for various problems. And I hadn't seen her in a while. And I think I even told the story on this show before. And finally, I saw her after about a year and a half. She came back. And I said, "Where you been? You know, what happened? Are you mad at God?" "Yes." "Well, what happened?" She said, "My son died." I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that." And then she said, "And then 3 months later, my husband had a stroke and was in the hospital. And I was so angry at God and saying, there is no God, there is no afterlife. What is all this about?" So here I am, she said. I'm sitting at the hospital bed of my husband. And as I'm sitting there, I look up, and I see at the bottom of the bed my son, who died, and my mother, who died, looking totally at my husband. And I tried everything to attract their attention. And like you said, Tito, they were there to pick her husband up.
Right.
And he died later on that day. Talk about a confirmation.
Wow.
That there's life after this temporary world that we live in. It's such an important thing. People forget it.
Absolutely.
We're thrown into so much
garbage is thrown at us.
Material, it's all material.
Yeah.
You're not taking nothing with you, you know?
I know.
It's funny, I'll tell you a quick, very quick story. Yesterday I had a meeting with a young lady, a college student, and the parents came out, and the father's an architect for the king of Saudi Arabia. They're building this big castle for him. So they're sitting there with the family, and I said, boy, I said, what gluttony is that? I said, if I had a castle like that, I'd take one room for myself and the rest I'd give to children that haven't eaten, that are living out in the street.
Yeah.
And they looked at me like I was nuts. I goes, well, he can't do that. I goes, yeah, because he won't. Yeah. There's a difference.
But, you know, there are people who are so taken up with the love of Jesus that they sell everything and follow him. It's amazing. I'm thinking of the people, Tony, you know them, from Bridge for Peace.
Absolutely.
And Tony Eckert. They travel all over the world with a healing ministry, and they have no visible income at all. They live on providence.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know how much time we have, John.
Well, all right, keep talking.
A little story I'd like to tell, which includes Tony, as a matter of fact.
Good.
I wasn't a good kid. Nah,
this,
I was.
Now, you have many people on the show that talk about amazing miracles, cures for cancer, and all kinds of amazing miracles. This is just a little sample. It may seem trivial to some, but it's just shows the way Jesus and God gets himself involved, or wants to be involved, in your everyday life, which is the theme of your show and part of the theme song. Many years ago, when our children were young, Tony's children and mine, we invited Tony and his family and one of our supervisors and his family over our house to spend the day, a nice Sunday, and there were like 8 or 9 years old, our children were at the time, to swim in the pool and just have a good day. And about 3 days before that day came about, the weather forecast said there's a big storm system moving in, and it's going to last for 4 or 5 days. We're going to get solid rain and clouds up until Tuesday, and this thing happened on a Sunday. And, we start talking about canceling it, doing another day. My kids were disappointed. I said, no, I'm going to prove to you there is a God. I'm going to pray for it, and I guarantee we're going to get good weather on Sunday. Trivial, maybe, but again, to get him involved in everyday life, these are the kind of things you do. Matter of fact, I had a dollar bet with the kids. None of them had a dollar, but, they didn't expect to pay me anyhow.
In Youth 2000 in Denver, the weather was horrible.
Uh-huh.
Raining. And Pope John Paul was scheduled to come there.
Mm-hmm.
And just as Pope John Paul arrived, the sun came out.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who was soaking wet was dried up by the sun.
I remember that.
Simple little thing.
Yes.
Well, I don't put
that
myself
on TV.
I don't put myself in the category of the Pope, certainly, but.
Oh, you can. It's all right.
But this went on until 10 o'clock of the day that Tony and his family and the other Eric, remember Eric Tony from Bedford, was supposed to come over. And 10 o'clock in the morning, my kids came to me and said, give us the dollar. It's still raining out, Dad. I said, it's only 10 o'clock. Wait. About 12, 1 o'clock, they all arrived. It was still cloudy. It was still a little drizzly, and I was kind of getting a little shaky on this, But anyhow, we ate. I told the kids to put their bathing suits on. And as they walked out the door, the sun came out. And I said to myself, well, maybe a little break in the clouds. Maybe they'll get to spend a half hour in the pool. But I went outside. I looked up, and my jaw dropped. The sky was completely clear, blue as far as the eye could see. Those kids
maybe
swam.
He is the Pope.
From 2 till 7 o'clock, as soon as they got out of the pool, the clouds came back and it started raining again. It rained till Tuesday, like they said. Now, that's not the sign that somebody up there is listening to you. Well, I never got paid the dollar, by the way, kids. If you're listening, you owe me a dollar each.
Nothing good to you anyway.
Just a little example. I've had a lot of things like that happen.
That's a perfect example of bringing Jesus and God into your life. Just these little things. And
it's
so important.
The other day, Tony, I was praying with a friend because we had to do something about maybe going up to Canada or back to see somebody. And I was praying because we didn't know what to do. Should we go up or bring the person down? Because it's expensive to do that kind of thing. And we prayed. And I hear a word inside. And the word I heard was, neither. And I said, huh? What do you mean, neither? This is now, we still have to make plans to talk to that person. Well, it happened that a third option came up. We're going to get together for a teleconference by Skype, and nobody has to travel anyway. That's a simple thing. Neither.
Yeah.
Neither worked out.
That's what Jesus is all about.
And we have a lot of saints
We certainly do.
Who have been touched. And Trevor, can we put on that next song? And we're going to stay in a Christmas mode. I don't, not with this. I put Holy is His name in.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Low, it Trevor. The saint of the day that we're going to talk about is probably one of my favorite saints that I pray to every day, and that's Saint Anthony of Padua.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you ever go to Portugal, and you look for his shrine, don't ask for the shrine of Saint Anthony Padua, because they'll throw you out. In Portugal, he's Saint Anthony of Lisbon, because
Saint Anthony of what?
Of Lisbon, because that's where he was born, and that's the claim they make. Just so happens that Saint Anthony of Padua happened to go to Italy during his time, and that's how he got the name. The Italians gave that name. But Saint Anthony relates so much to me. He's got my name. He's short. He was short. Chubby, like I was when I was a kid. And
notice how nobody said a word. Nobody said a word.
And good looking. And his claim to fame, by the way, is that he's the saint of lost things, lost souls, lost items. He's in charge in heaven of the lost and found department, I think. And so he became very, very religious when he was a young boy. And he comes from, like most saints, a very wealthy family. And he aspired to God's call to leave everything and to serve him. And whatever God asked him to do, he did. He ran here, he ran there, and then finally God had a new plan for him. He joined the Augustines, and he served as an Augustine. And then he read about the martyrs of the Franciscans, and that convinced him to switch over to the Franciscans. Just so happens, though, when he switched over, he was sick. He got sick, and so they relegated him to washing dishes and to lowly things. And then one day there was a conference, and the Franciscos were there, and they forgot they needed a speaker. And so they tried to get their famous speakers, and none of them would speak because they weren't prepared. So they said, we got Antonio. We'll get him. He's the dishwasher. And so they asked him. He thought about it, and he spoke. And he gave such a beautiful talk. He inspired so many people. He converted so many people that he became the spokesman for the Franciscans. And he not only did that, but he became a doctor of the church. Only 33 saints have become doctors of the church in the 2,000 years. He was canonized 1 year after he died.
Wow.
One year.
So unusual.
So unheard of. And people, he's one of the most popular saints that you can think of. And people pray to him. They ask him for lost things. They ask him for lost souls. But one thing they don't do, since Saint Anthony was so heavy when he was a child and he always struggled with his weight like I did, maybe we should pray to Saint Anthony to help us lose weight. What do you say?
I think so, but I think we should pray to Saint Anthony to help us find those Catholics who have walked away from the church.
That's the
and
next
that's
thing.
That's what we have
that's
to do.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. And Saint Anthony will help us find us. We are praying for him. But, you know, tomorrow is going to be the Holy Trinity, celebration of Holy Trinity. Just so happens that in tomorrow's readings, there's not much mention of the Holy Spirit. Just mentions about God and Jesus and how and the gifts that God gave us. He gave us Jesus and he gave us the Holy Spirit and how much God loves us. But I, you know, it's hard to research Saint Anthony because there's so many things all over the place. But I did find a prayer that he said for the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read that.
Absolutely.
And this is the prayer he said to the Holy Spirit. O God, send forth your Holy Spirit into my heart that I may perceive into my mind what I may remember, and into my soul what I may meditate. Inspire me to speak with piety, holiness, tenderness, and mercy. Teach, guide, and direct my thoughts and senses from beginning to end. May your grace ever help and correct me, and may I strengthen now with wisdom from on high. For the sake of your infinite mercy, amen. Saint Anthony.
Wow. Hmm. Trevor, can we play the next song too? Because it follows right along with what Anthony was praying for. I'll walk with God. This is what we want everyone to do who's listening. It's Michael Crawford.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when I'm near to Him. I'll lean on Him forever, and He'll forsake me never. He will not fail me as long as my faith is strong. Whatever road I may walk along, I'll walk with God. I'll take His hand. I'll talk with God. He'll understand.
Powerful. Who's that singing that, John?
Michael Crawford, Michael from Crawford. Phantom of the Who? Opera.
Michael Crawford.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
You know that, John, this song reminds me that, you know, that none of us knows what God has in store locked up in their hearts for us. And all we have to do is offer to walk with Him, and He'll tell us what He has in store for us. He did that with St. Anthony.
He did that with Paul.
He did that with Paul.
He did that with Tito. He did that with John.
John is a magician, by the way. He could make a singer sound like the best singer. You know what? You don't have to take singing lessons if you work with John.
Okay.
No, John is a top. He's a top agent.
I had the pleasure of being at the studio when they record, when Al Barbarino recorded those two songs, and it was like magical, mystical. I mean, Al said to me, he never recorded songs so fast as when he did it with John.
Yeah, John knows how to put it together. No question about
it. Good work, John.
But we haven't heard much from Tito.
Well, I'm here. I'm listening, you know.
Okay.
I'm always in the background, you know.
Well, John, if I could ask that maybe your listeners maybe pray for my sister, my kid sister Jenny, who's having open heart surgery in the next couple of days.
Absolutely. Jenny?
She got the short end of the stick. You know, my parents passed away quite young, and she was only a kid, and, you know, so that she really had a hard time. And so now, unfortunately, she's suffering. Not only she has cancer also, and they can't even operate until they strengthen the heart.
Oh, boy.
So it's a bad situation, and I pray that God give her mercy.
How old is she, Tita?
Jenny has to be about 44.
Yeah.
She's young.
We'll pray for her.
And you're leading us right into the healing part of our show.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we get petitions. You guys may not know it, but we get petitions from everybody. They're on a pile right here in front of
me. Put money in myself.
And yeah. And we pray for them. We don't know what happens when we pray. Only God knows. None of us are healers. Now, I hate when people say that I'm a healer. I'm not a healer. I'm just a man who prays.
You're an instrument.
And God works through every one of us. So, Trevor, can we put on that next song? It's just to get us in that mood a bit. You know, let's just quiet ourselves down. Listeners, quiet yourselves down at home and join us in prayer as well. You know? Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch Tito's sister, Paul's son, my children, Tony's children, John, I don't know if you have children, but okay. For John to have children, Lord, we...
This whole band.
My wife's freaking out right now.
We thank you, Jesus, for being here. We know you're here. And we have so many people that have petitioned us. I saw Liz, the woman with Chiari disease, yesterday on Friday. And she still has the neck brace on. And she still has dizziness. And she still has heart palpitations, and she walks with a walker. But she has the Spirit of God in her. What a delight. What an inspiration. Even though she'd be the person to tell you, she's not an inspiration at all. And Marita Doherty had surgery for cancer in her lung. And they took off the lower portion of the lung. And we prayed for her. And the wonderful thing that happened is that the cancer was all encapsulated. The doctors were so pleased. And go ahead.
Praise Jesus, praise. And baby Victoria, 3-year-old, who had cancer, and we prayed so hard, and she was cured. You cured her. And the doctor told the father that there's very little chance that that cancer will come back. And the person that we heard from upstate, who had an unidentifiable blood disease and that we prayed for from day one of our program. And then we heard that unidentifiable, mysterious blood disease mysteriously disappeared. And so we praise you, Jesus, and give you thanks and glory. And there are other happenings in our petitions, and we ask that you continue to bless them. And help those unemployed. Help those that are hurting. Help those that are depressed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And we're blowing that horn, Lord, to get your attention.
He's here, John.
So that we know that you're listening. We know it already, and we thank you, Lord, for touching all the people who have sent in petitions. We praise you and thank you. I'm just going to pray in tongues for the witch, Edivet and Jennifer Shanavel. For those of you, this is the word I'm hearing, for those of you who have been faithful to me, I want you to know you are a special flower in my garden of paradise. Each one of you is separate, distinct, and unique in your own way of living and the way you approach your life. And I look down at my garden and I say, I can count on Tito. I can count on Paul. I can count on both Johns. I can count on Tony. They may not be the most beautiful flowers in my garden, but they stand straight and tall when it comes to bringing my values back to the world of man. So my prayer and is for us, Lord, yes. And I pray to get out of the way. Liz, the dizziness will go. Liz, the heart palpitations will go. You will be on this show in August, and you will give us an accounting of what has been happening in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And Liz, we look forward to having you on the show, Liz. We look forward to it.
I may add something.
Go ahead, absolutely.
God, please bless John and Tony and their great efforts here to make at least one convert a week, and I'm thinking they're probably making a lot more than that. So please help them to continue on with the good work.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory be to
thank
the Father, Jesus. And to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Look in the beginning. Go ahead.
Can I make some breaking news, John?
Sure.
You're the executive producer. It's okay?
Yeah.
You know, Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
We're experimenting. We're test marketing a show with an audience. And we're going to have our first test market audience at Cure of Oz Church on Monday night.
In Merrick.
And then we have another test market set up at St. Catherine of Siena. And we're test marketing.
You know what it makes me think of? They have prepared the tar and the feathers. And they have a railing for us, and we're going to be ridden right out of town.
But I'm excited, John. We're going to have an audience. Finally have an audience.
I don't know. I'm seeing TV show here.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm seeing TV show in the future here.
He thinks big.
Think big. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Now you got the guys to help you produce it right there.
That's right.
Oh, okay. So this was a dream. This was not my dream. This was our executive producer's dream. That's John Palmer, you all hear. I'm Dr. Palmer. I'm Anthony Chiffo. John's the executive producer. I'm the gopher, and it works out great.
The gopher.
So,
and I restrained myself. I didn't say you look like a gopher. I wouldn't say that.
And I don't tell anybody you're my grandfather either.
Trevor, can we have the final song? Final song is Let There Be Peace on Earth, and it will start with us.
And don't forget, next Thursday night is going to be the 30th anniversary Mass at St. Paul the Apostle Church for the Medjugorje apparitions. So it's going to be the 30th anniversary of Medjugorje's apparitions, the Blessed Mother, at St. Paul the Apostle Church. Hope to see you there. I'll be there.
Come on. Here we go. We can sing if you want.
Let you, John.
There be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.
And it summarizes our show.
Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. Family all
from the heart of the nautical mile.